What a beautiful day for a summer BBQ.
That's right. Feeling good, feeling relaxed, feeling comfortable.
Yeah, I was going to say, Brad, I don't mean to be checking out your ass in broad daylight, but you're looking mighty comfy. Is that new underwear?
I mean, normally that would be pretty creepy to say to a man, but under these circumstances, it's not, because I'm wearing Mack Weldon underwear.
Mack Weldon? Wait a second. Isn't that the premium men's essentials brand that believes in smart design and premium fabrics?
Darn right. Smart design, premium fabrics, and the best part, simple shopping. You know how I hate to shop.
Dude, I hate to shop. Every time you get on the website, there's not enough pictures, there's not enough sizes, not enough angles. It's bullshit.
Well, all you gotta do is go to MackWeldon.com. Easy to navigate, simple categories. Oh my God, they got underwear, socks, shirts, undershirts, hoodies, sweatpants, anything you'll ever need, all the colors, all the sizes. You can't mess this up.
It'll be more comfortable than the cotton box that I'm wearing right now with the dick hole cut out.
Oh my God, you're still wearing that stuff? Go to MackWeldon.com. It's way more comfortable. Mack Weldon uses Pima cotton. Pima cotton is the softest cotton in the world.
What the fuck is that?
Yeah, it's I don't know, it's like comes from aliens or something. It's
wow.
Amazing. And
but it's comfy.
Oh, very comfy.
And when do you wear it?
You can wear it anytime. You can go to work, go out on dates, you can go shopping, wherever you're going. That's when you're wearing your Mack Weldon. You look good, you feel good, and you smell good, too.
Now, what if I'm trying to go to the 24-hour fitness and playing a pickup basketball game, and I'm having a game of games where it's like, if there were scouts here, I'd probably go pro. And then I'm going straight from there to a date. And I don't want to smell like shit and sweat and pubes.
Well, then just get their silver brand.
What's that?
Mack Weldon Silver are naturally antimicrobial. That means it naturally stops you from smelling.
Wow, that's fucking really glad I ran into you at this barbecue. Hey, I don't want to, you know, be presumptuous here, but mm-hmm. There's a big bowl of new baked beans coming out.
Ooh.
And I know how you love your baked beans. Look
that's
at that.
That's pretty good. Yeah. Look over there.
Give me those.
What are you doing?
Put on your pants. Give me your underwear.
You're trying to take my underwear.
I want your underwear.
I need an adult.
Give me underwear. No, give me your underwear.
Get your own Mack Weldon. Just go to the website, MackWeldon.com.
Give me your goddamn underwear.
That, I will fight you.
Go to MackWeldon.com and get 20% off using promo code ALN. That's right. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 20% off using promo code ALN. Start shopping, looking, and feeling better with Mack Weldon's underwear, socks, shirts, hoodies, you name it. They got it. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 20% off using promo code ALN. Can I say it again? Yeah. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 20% off using promo code ALN right now. And now enjoy a brand new episode of the About Last Night podcast with Brad Williams and Adam Ray.
Well, the weekend's over, so it's time to chat about it. Got a midget and a Jew, so why don't you sit down and listen to our dope podcast during lunch, dinner, or breakfast. Brad Williams and Adam Ray are here for you any time of the day. So come on and treat yourself right. It's About Last Night.
Yeah, every time Joe's there, I just start making more money. I'm like, thanks, bro. You know?
Is this the best the store's ever been in your time there? Because you've been there since the start.
I mean, equally as like in the 80s and 90s. Yeah,
because
my mom was healthy.
Yeah.
Yeah, when my mom was healthy, she was there all the time. So but when she got unhealthy towards the end, then no one was there. And then, you know, and then everything got, once we got Tommy left and there was people, management brought in and everything, just cleaned up, you know, just normal, just being run normal, like a normal business.
Yeah, yeah.
Then like everyone kind of came through. It was no weirdness there's no weirdness there anymore.
No.
It's,
I mean, there's still the weirdness that I think, you know, a good comedy club needs, right? Like just the weirdness.
Yeah,
of,
but I'm talking about the behind the
scenes. The offstage stuff. Weirdness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, well, are we rolling?
Yeah.
God damn it, you guys are like, you
we
guys
sneak
like,
up on you.
So he's getting married.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Because we were walking up the stairs and he says that he's getting married and she goes, oh, I got a good one. I'm like, well, how the fuck do you know you're a good one?
And that blew my mind.
Because you're a mess.
Yeah, because like I didn't think about that. Like, oh shit, maybe
you are a mess.
Maybe I'm the problem. Oh God.
Were you gonna be? You're a fucking comedian, dude.
Yeah,
you're a mess.
Yeah, exactly.
She knows what she signed
We're
up for.
We're fucked up, dude.
We are, right?
We're so fucked up, dude. I cannot have a fucking girlfriend. I just I'm just too tweaked, dude.
Mm-hmm.
Really? But I'm really tweaked. I'm like really fucked up.
I mean, you've tried though.
I've tried, yeah.
Yeah, and then what?
I think I'm picking the wrong girls. And my last girlfriend, I mean, I called her on it. Hopefully, she's not listening. But she's an alcoholic. Mm. You know what I mean?
Can't be with those.
I know that, and she's beautiful and awesome and sweet and all this other great stuff.
Yeah,
but an alcoholic's an alcoholic.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, why'd you do that, bro? Is she listening?
No, it was in my sight line. I wanted to move the mic, yeah.
No, but like, you know you're with an alcoholic paranoid. When you're driving down the street and you're both a little buzzed and you're mm-hmm. driving and then she's like, watch out for that guy. Watch out for that guy. You know, or
and there's nobody on the road. It's like 5 a.m.
Yeah. Like, or you're like, you know, you're pulled over at a fucking a light and she's all over you, like hugging you and all that shit. When you're both kind of buzzed.
Who's driving?
Me.
Oh. It would have been great if you were like, that's the problem. Nobody was.
No, but you know what I mean? You have to concentrate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, so she was getting in the way of you just being able to live.
The problem is that like for the last like I guess 3 or 4 months, every time she showed up, she was always buzzed.
Yeah. It's like when place. That's fun for the first week, maybe, right?
Right, but then when it just becomes an everyday
not
thing.
Even. Not even the first week. No, I was with her for 5 years.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I was with her for 5 years, yeah.
Well, so now what does Pauly Shore look for in a woman? Can we help you find one on this podcast?
Yeah.
Do you do the dating apps? Do you do it?
Not really.
Yeah.
You
like to meet people organically, huh?
Yeah. I'm kind of looking, I think, for a particular... I think I definitely want to have a kid,
mm-hmm.
you know, but I think it's got to be the right situation. Like, for instance, I'm thinking of possibly...
Pull this up more to your face if you don't mind.
Possibly getting like a power lesbian couple pregnant. Almost kind of like David Crosby did with Melissa Etheridge.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
You know how like...
So like technically it's David Crosby's kid.
Exactly.
But he's not...
He's not there. Well, the kid is with the lesbians.
Yeah, but and he can be like, there if he wants to be, but it's not a must thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's a great idea.
I don't know if I can change my lifestyle, dude.
That's a lot, dude. Tom Papa was here today, and he was talking about, you know, just giving Brad some advice on having kids when he does that sooner than later. And he was just like, dude, everything changes. He's like, you just have to give in. He goes, those first few years, like, you just adjust. He's like, I had to go to a coffee shop that was closer. I had to sometimes stop doing sets. Like, I just, and I'm like.
You're definitely going to alter your lifestyle.
Have to. Yeah, you can't. You can't just think you can be in charge of. It's almost like
rape. It's almost like rape. You just gotta either fight it or you gotta let it just happen, and you're gonna just let it happen.
Yeah, exactly.
Has anybody ever described having a child as a rape?
No, I'm talking about jumping in.
Oh,
marriage, kid.
Now, do you have the lesbians picked out?
No.
Like, what kind do you want? You know.
Well, I was thinking if it was gonna be Ellen DeGeneres and Portia.
Yeah.
I want to give Portia my semen. Because I wouldn't want Ellen to have the semen, because the kid would come out kind of like
you know, Ellen.
Bull Dyke-y kind of show,
right. You know what I mean? So you want to be Portia. So
so you have thought about this.
Portia's an avid listener of the podcast, so she'll be
Portia, if you're listening, you want my semen. But then another thing is, like, there might be girls that don't want my semen.
By the way, there's the documentary title.
Yeah,
do you want my semen?
That's the next one.
And you just go across the country trying to find two lesbians that are suitable for that will have your baby.
Isn't there a thing called surrogate?
Yeah,
yeah.
What's that?
I have no idea. I haven't looked into it.
Well, that's basically what you're describing.
Don't you have like an assistant here? Shouldn't you Google surrogate?
Yeah, Norman, make yourself useful, man.
But you know,
are you like live tweeting? What are you doing over there?
Taking notes for us.
Fucking Chinese food.
What the fuck?
I got to get some Chinese pork. Before I forget, I just want to say something,
sure.
And then you guys can do whatever you want to do with me. I'm still high and hungover from fucking Joey Diaz's Death Stars.
Did you do that today?
No, dude, like 3 days ago.
Holy shit. He has the craziest weed,
dude,
doesn't he?
I was fucking pissed.
Really?
Yeah, I was pissed.
Because it messed you up.
Well, yeah, because I'm here. How'd you like me to be here? You guys are asking me questions. I can't answer a fucking question.
You seem normal Pauly with it.
Yeah. Here.
Yeah.
But then I wasn't.
Oh, okay. Shit.
No, dude.
So what? So he just
started talking to me. I'm like, dude, I can't speak.
Have you ever been that high before?
Never. No, when I did like fucking mushrooms when I was 18, I literally felt like I was hallucinating.
Jesus.
Have you ever taken one of these things?
What is it?
It's called a Death Star.
What is it?
It's an edible. It's an edible gummy bear.
I don't want to have any drug that has the word death in it.
That's a good rule of thumb.
Here, eat this. What is it called? Death. No, I'm good. I'll pass
on that.
You
know what's really nuts about it, though?
What's that?
He was eating them, I swear to God, like fucking popcorn.
Like just like just, taking a few yeah. and just popping them in. And you had one?
I walk into a studio. He's smoking, taking bong hits.
Yeah.
He's sweating. He looks like he's about to have a fucking heart attack.
Fuck.
He's on his Periscope. He's going, motherfuckers, it's church Sunday, motherfuckers. You better, you know, he's like going, right. I'm like, okay. I'm like, cool, I can deal with this.
Yeah.
And then he starts eating these things. And I'm trying to fit in with his thing. So I'm like, oh, give me one. And I didn't eat the whole thing. I only did a half.
Yeah.
And then we're just talking and shooting the shit. I'm like, okay, let's start the thing. And I went on. When 10 minutes, 15 minutes later, it was done. I quit.
I quit. You quit pot?
No, I quit the podcast.
Yeah.
I left and I drove home from North Hollywood to Silver Lake. And I swear to fucking God, dude, I can't believe I made it home. And then when I went home, I started hallucinating.
Fuck.
Like, I swear to God, dude. Like, we've all drinking and driving before, but not like a lot, but one or two drinks.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, it's easy. Right? This? Gummy bears? No.
What the fuck?
I know, dude. It was fucking...
Had you sworn off of edibles before?
I've never even done them before.
Oh,
that
man.
Was your first time?
Yeah. I've maybe done like a pot brownie or blah, blah, blah.
In the MTV days, were you smoking? Yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, I've been smoking my whole life since I was 11.
Since 11?
Since I was 11?
Yeah.
What was that first time like?
Well, let me have some water one sec. Yeah.
It's called a tease, ladies and gentlemen.
No, it was cool because my mom, she always had comedians over, right? Mm-hmm. And back at the Doheny house, she always had comedians over, like Richard Belzer or Robin or like Sam or who else was there? I don't know. Back in the 70s, it was like Freddie Prinze and
David Letterman ever come over?
I guess. But it was more like the guys that partied, you know? Like,
yeah.
How vivid do you remember those
Richard
days?
Belzer was there. Was there a
Robin
lot.
Robin was smoking, huh?
Robin was there.
Was he hilarious stoned? Yeah, come
yeah,
on.
He was
all
cool.
The time.
I was 11.
Yeah, so everything was hilarious at that point.
So what she would do is she would have parties, and then, you know, like any after party, you know, you wake up in the morning and it's just a mess.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So we would look at the, you know, me and my black friend, Eddie Washington, this kid that would sleep over. Because I went to West Hollywood Elementary, we would wake up and there would be all these roaches in the ashtray, right?
Oh, just hanging out from the after party.
Right, everyone was smoking joints and there's all these roaches. So we would take the roaches and then we'd get some papers and we'd roll a joint with all the roaches.
That's brilliant. That's 11-year-old thinking right there.
Yeah, just like, but okay.
Problem solving.
I'll combine all this weed into a super weed.
Yeah.
Into one joint.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And do you remember that first time? Like, what did you think about? What was funny? What was like, what'd you do?
Walk to school. And then we went to
high-fived all your teachers.
Yeah. We went to Sunbee Liquor Store on right next to the Viper Room.
Nice.
Okay. That liquor store there. And we got honey buns and coffee.
What a great dude. You sound like a very like productive 11-year-old stoner.
Yeah.
Like food and coffee. Like coffee when I'm high is the greatest.
Yeah, so I mean, my parents divorced when I was 3, and then my dad was off. He was never around. And then my mom was just at the club, and that's all she really cared about.
Right, right.
So, like, she loved me, and the comedians took care of me, and they raised me. But her love was the comics in the store.
Yeah.
And that's why the store is where it is now.
Oh, sure.
Because she pretty much...
She put it first.
She sacrificed her life, almost like a suicide bomber.
Wow.
And that's part of the reason why I think she's sick. For sure.
Well, because really? Well, she put everything
her
into
heart
it.
And soul into it.
Yeah.
But she got it when she was 40. So think about it. When you're 40, how old are you?
I'm 33. Well, I mean, granted, that's pretty old in dwarf years. But
you're not. Don't say that, dude. I don't look at you like that.
But no, yeah, but I can't.
He's still high. He thought you were 6'2" right now.
That's why he doesn't look at you like
that. Damn, Brad, you've been drinking milk.
Yeah. But yeah, like I can imagine. Like I'm ready to start like the family life and kind of like settling down. I can't imagine being 40, and then that's when everything ramps up.
Well, that's when she started her life.
Yeah.
In my mom's eyes, she started her life at 40. She got divorced with my dad. She got the comedy store in the divorce, you know, or he gave it to her, whatever it wound up happening. They fought for it, whatever the crap was.
Right.
And then she just was finally happy. And that's when the comedy boom started. And that was like in 1973, 74, 75, around there. Yeah.
Yeah. And then just like that became her life. That
was her life.
That became everything. And running a comedy club, that's not a, hey, you get there at 5 and then you clock out at 1. Like, that's a 24/7
Her heart
gig.
Was into it.
Yeah.
Oh, man. She bled black. You know what I mean? That was her.
Do you ever remember hearing like actual advice she was giving to comics? Like, I mean, because she was always doing that, right?
Yeah.
Like,
The way she would work is that she would sit in the back of the OR, you know, one of those booths. Mm-hmm. You know, whoever it was, Scott Day or Duncan Trussell or whoever, or before that was Michael Becker was like her talent, you know, her talent person, and they'd give her the list and people would showcase.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then if she liked you, when you got off stage, she would call you over and say something. She would say something like, come back in 3 months, come back in 6 months, or keep it going. If she didn't like you and thought you were fucking not good, she wouldn't say anything to you.
Okay.
And it was pretty much that.
Wow.
If she liked you, she would call you over and say something. 99.9% of the time, she wouldn't make you a paid regular right away.
No, she had to make sure. System. Yeah, she had to make sure like who is really into it.
Yeah, well, it was a system.
Who was that 0.1% that would get passed the first time, like a Fuck. Jim Carrey?
Oh, I think I got Robin Harris passed. Do you know who that is?
Yeah,
you know,
we don't die, we multiply.
Yeah,
yeah, Robin Harris,
dude.
Yeah,
have you ever heard of it?
No,
it's a great bit.
This guy was the fucking funniest black comedian I've ever seen. I used to run around the store when I was younger and watch all the comedians, and Robin Harris was like Fat Tuesday night. It was black night.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. In the main room, and I'm like in there and I watch all the comics and I see him and he's fucking, he's hilarious. You gotta watch this show.
Yeah, right.
He's really
classic.
Right. And I brought him, I'm like, dude, get the fuck over here. And I brought him into the OR while my mom was showcasing. I bumped one of the showcasers. I'm like, Mom, I always did that.
No, really?
Always, yeah. If I liked someone, I would always bump.
And she had no problem.
She loved me doing that because she trusted my opinion.
Yeah, because you were watching so much.
Yeah,
I mean,
but she was my mom. Yeah. We're family. It's Trump and Eric Trump.
Yeah. It's like, hey, I'm at this G20 summit, but I'm going to step out of the room. Ivanka, just be present for a little bit.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, so I brought him over, and he fucking killed, and my mom made him a paid regular there.
Wow.
Robin Harris, though, dude. You got to check him out. He died, dude, at such a young age. It was so sad.
Well,
when his fucking career. Yeah. He was in the movie Gonna Get You Sucker with
him. I'm Gonna Get You Sucker that Keenan did?
No, that was with Spike Lee, right?
Oh, yeah.
Not I'm Gonna Get You Sucker.
Right.
Yeah. Keenan Ivory Wayans.
Yeah.
Yeah, that
the
was
OG.
Great too.
Well, and the thing.
Do the Right Thing, right? He was a dude.
I can look it up, but.
Why don't you look it up?
Yeah, Norman, Jesus Christ. And the black guy doesn't even want to Google the black movie facts.
But, like, and there has to be so many names like that you've seen throughout the years that, like, sure, we all know of the Jim Carreys and the Robins and the Jay Lenos, but there's so many guys and women that you're like, they were so good.
So good.
And they didn't make it. Yep. And that, like.
Because why? Why do you think that happened? Just people just. I mean, death is one reason, but like.
Sure.
Drugs. But I mean, also some people, they just stop, right? They just fall out of love with the art form.
It's a hard business.
Yeah.
It's a hard business. It's not for everyone. I always had this saying, you know, in order to make it, you have to have all the ingredients of a chocolate chip cookie. You have to have the brown sugar. You have to have the flour. You have to have the chocolate chip. You got to have the butter. You got to have the, you know what I mean? It's almost like the whole thing.
Yeah.
If you're missing, you know, some of the drive.
And you got to have the milk to dip it in.
Part of me is like, you know, part of me is kind of burnt out from everything because of all this shit that's going on. All the podcast stuff and all the social media stuff. And it's I don't want to say it's too much, but it's kind of too much for me.
Fuck yeah, dude.
It's constant content. Yeah, it's like the Indiana Jones. It's like that fucking ball that's chasing him down the hallway. Yeah. You know that thing?
It just keeps going.
It just keeps going. And
you can't
stop it. Fuck.
Well, because when you were coming up and then popping and the biggest thing in the country. I mean, like, what it was, acting, stand up, right? And writing.
It was simple. So, it was simple. The way you made it back in the old days is you developed at the store. You came up with a good 6 to 10 minutes. You went on Johnny Carson.
Yeah.
If you went on Johnny Carson,
game over.
Game over.
Yeah.
It was like that was it. It was like
he gave you the AOK. If he called you over the couch, it's done. The next day you had a development
Argus, deal. Argus fucked up because he was a cokehead. But Argus is a worse
Argus Hamilton.
Worse cokehead alcoholic than you can imagine. Not now.
Yeah.
But for 30 years, he's been cool and he's awesome. But back then, he was an addict.
Because wasn't he poised to take over?
Hell yeah. He was the man.
You can see it in him now, man. You're like, dude. I mean, when I watch him, I'm like, I feel like now you could be a late night show host.
He's fucking great.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
He's so fucking likable.
And he's a sweetheart. You know what I mean? I'm so happy that he's not dead, you know?
Yeah. I mean,
Coke, for how long did he.
Dude, he was bad. Because he was just having fun, but he didn't know that it was fucking up. You know,
opportunities.
Yeah, my documentary. I have a new documentary, and it's not. It's obviously not out yet, but I've been working on it for about 3 years. It's basically my life story. It's 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s.
No shit. I mean,
yeah, you guys always see me running like upstairs. Yeah. The office. Like that's all I've been doing is putting this together.
I love that.
But I got over 50 interviews in the can.
What?
I got guys from the 70s, 80s, 90s. I got everyone.
Because everybody wants to be a part of it. Yeah.
Well, they're my family.
Yeah, yeah, and so, you've been around forever. In the last documentary you made, the
Polyshore Stands Alone. So good,
yeah,
man.
Oh,
fuck, you premiered that at the store. I remember that. It was so great.
Excuse me?
You premiered at the store.
Yeah. Yeah, and
that was such a great insight, A, into road life, and then, like, just your perspective, and it was so real and raw, because, like, your fans are still so diehard.
I love my fans. And you went to such
interesting places that, like, and some places where it's like, there's nothing going on.
Have you guys ever played those places?
Jeez, you went to like some small town in Wisconsin,
Anago.
Yeah,
I was like in Wausau, Eau Claire, like really shit towns.
Like I've been to like Yakima, Washington.
Yeah,
and that's like a city like that where it's
like
there's
nothing
else.
Yeah, you've probably played some smaller markets. Yeah.
And you
I said smaller. Yeah. I feel bad. You know what I mean?
You probably played like, you know, not as large markets in terms of a population setting and not exactly square footage and not related to your ride at all.
You played like a Petco, right? Where your fans could get through the doggy door.
Yeah, exactly.
Not cool, bro. Not cool.
Probably the amount of dwarf to Jew slams.
I'm glad
we have
you guys
on each
are
other.
Still doing this. I'm really happy for you.
Thank you. I'm happy
for anyone that's successful in this business.
Well, you knew when we started this up, so that was what about that documentary was the most satisfying thing?
Dude, I'm telling you, I'll just tell you, there's just a couple stories that people aren't going to believe. Mm-hmm. Because everyone knows my dad opened for Elvis. Everyone knows the Sam Cannons. But you don't know that, like, I used to go to this club called The Odyssey on Beverly and La Cienega. You know where the AT&T store is?
On Beverly and, like, 3rd?
No, Beverly Boulevard and La Cienega.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Right next to the Beverly Center.
Right.
Yeah.
There's an AT&T store.
Yeah.
Well, years ago, growing up in the 80s, it used to be a nightclub called The Odyssey.
Okay.
And me and my friends, Donovan Leach, Patricia Arquette, Heidi Fleiss, you know, all these people, we used to go there. And there was my friend Doug White, who was my best friend. We were mods when we were kids. He used to hang out there a lot. And there was this guy that owned it. His name was LB, which stood for Little Boys. But his name was Lawrence Benjamin, and Doug used to be his kind of cocaine drug mule, and he was 14 years old. So eventually, LB molested my friend Doug, and then Doug shot and killed him.
Whoa!
And this is like, and this was kid was staying at my house with my mom, so he went to jail for murder. Yeah, so that's just one story.
Jesus.
So like, there's all like the MTV stuff and but I really brought out the 70s and 80s. Like life like in LA in the 70s and 80s was insane as a kid.
Well, that and I can't imagine because now now with like the fame that people have, everyone's kind of cautious because at any moment someone could tweet, someone could take a photo, someone could like whatever happens.
Yeah, we're always on camera. Now,
it's out there. But in the 70s and 80s, you could witness a murder and no one would ever know about it.
Yeah.
Like that kind of shit would happen.
Yeah.
He
got caught. I mean, it's not like he tried to.
Right, but that kind of stuff can go down and then no one would know about it.
Yeah. There's no DNA.
Yeah.
What other interviews did you can you just give us some tidbit,
a lot of Chris
teasers?
Rock stuff.
Whoa.
A lot of people don't know that I started with Chris Rock. A lot of people don't know the backstory.
Well, but he started out in Brooklyn,
New York.
Right?
Yeah, but he came out to L.A. Mm-hmm. because he was Eddie Murphy's boy.
That's right. Well, the story is that Murphy comes in, says there's no like black comics on the list, put up a black comic, and then you or someone else found Chris and then put Chris on stage.
Well, what happened was my whole life I've been Mitzi's kid.
Yeah.
And I've always kind of had like an X on my back because of that, just from the bitter comedians.
Sure.
You know, people are like, oh, that's Mitzi's kid. And then Chris Rock always had that as well because he was Eddie Murphy's boy.
Got it.
That was always kind of what he felt.
So you guys bonded over that?
Yeah, we bonded over that. And then we became really close. And then there's all these stories that he tells in my documentary about him when we first started. And then how we both kind of made it at the same time.
Yeah.
So I hit on MTV. Mm-hmm. He hit on SNL.
Yeah.
And like we both kind of like were always talking and always.
That's
like
amazing.
Still to this day, we're really close.
So what is it like when you see him come in and work out his new hour at the store?
He's the best. I think he's like the best out there.
Yeah.
I mean, I really do. I mean, I love Chappelle.
I mean, him and Chappelle, I think, are just vastly different. You know, you got storyteller versus like and cadence and delivery, and Rock has all that too, but he's just got, I mean, the jokes are just tight as fuck, right?
So good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's next level.
Yeah, he's just like a scientist.
What is it like watching him now versus when you started? Do you even like...
I always thought he was funny back then too, though. He said his opening joke was like, you know, fuck, I forgot what it was, but he was like, I met a prostitute. He said, give me pay for anything. I said, bitch, paint my house. You remember that one?
Of course.
Yeah. I forgot that
one.
Yeah,
he did that in one of his specials.
But yeah, even back then, do you think he's going to be on your podcast anytime soon? The one on Crackle?
No, I'm not doing that anymore. I just kind of did a run of that, yeah.
Well, I mean, the episodes on there between Bob
so
Saget,
good.
Harlan Williams, Judd Apatow, cool. Chris Kattan.
Yeah.
Like, you know what it is, too? Because it was like, I mean, I don't know how long, the episodes were like,
it's like
10 to 15 minutes?
No, not that, like 8 to 10.
Yeah, yeah. And it was just really great because it's like,
binge watch them and be done in an hour.
The one with Ziggy Marley, too, was great.
That was my favorite.
Holy shit, dude.
That was my favorite.
And I feel like you just scratched the surface with that guy.
That was my favorite.
How did
I
you
love him.
Get in touch with him?
I met him at a gas station.
Of course.
That's how I met him.
Of course. Sure. That was my first guess.
Yeah.
It was going to be comedy club, Quiznos, gas station.
That's insane. So like, did you just walk up to him? Does he walk up to you?
It was a mutual thing.
You just kind of like...
Well, we both kind of grew up with each other and we both were on MTV at the same time.
Oh, okay.
You know, I was hosting MTV videos and I was playing his videos.
Got it.
So you were like, Ziggy, and he was like, Pauly.
Yeah. Yeah, and then we bonded
and
just became friends.
I mean, what a talent and I mean, again, like coming up and he even shared stories about
Bob,
his pops and like that was, I mean, that was what I really loved about it too, is you ask good questions, you know? And I think that's the basis for any killer interview. Like even if you, and knowing when to steer them and you know, Stern's the best at that where he can feel somebody start to go down a path and then kind of give them an extra little boost if they're going to stray off that. And you did that with all your interviews.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Saget and Harlan.
I mean, and you and Ziggy kind of have something in common where you went into the business of your famous parent.
Yes.
And had to sort of live in that shadow. And that's tough to do. It's
hard. It's like... And I still kind of feel that in a way. You know, even though I've made it and stuff like that, I feel like I'm at the store and I'm like, I got to go on stage. I got to make all these people laugh that are in front of me. But then you got the comics, you know, out there that I'm sure there's some of them that are like, oh, he's just on here because of his mom's club.
Yeah.
So you got to like.
Nah, I mean, really? Do people. I mean,
don't know.
No,
I mean,
man.
Sure there's
I don't think by now. I think by now that's all passed.
Yeah.
I would hope, at least.
I like knowing that I feel that's what it is.
Well, I mean, whatever
because
drives
that gives
you.
Me yeah. That gives me like.
Yeah, I mean, one of my friends was visiting a few weeks ago, and they came to the club specifically to see you. And I missed out because I waited around. I was trying to. I saw you talking to some friends, and I was trying to feel out to have them get a picture with you. And I just missed the moment. But like we were talking, and he was like, "Dude," he goes, and he was breaking it down to what I already know, and what I've preached. Mm. Where we go, do you know how tough it is to have a fucking run of being the biggest movie star in the country? You know what I'm saying? That's fucking impossible.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
To get a run.
The run you had. That's bonkers,
it's insane,
dude.
Yeah, I know.
And so when you say like, that's just so insane for me to even hear somebody be like, you got all that because of his mom. Dude, you don't put somebody in movie after movie after movie like that, like, and have them deliver.
Sure, it's
because
like,
they
look
are.
At Jaden Smith. His dad's the biggest movie star on the planet, and he's not going to get a run like that.
Yeah,
because he just doesn't have that sort. That,
Jaden Smith will not be in the next Biodome, and I will.
And he's not going to be on the next podcast with us either. He's not cool.
Wait, can you? You have to answer a few questions about like some of these movies for us because we didn't do it on the last one, but like.
You said in the next Biodome. I know Stephen Baldwin gave an interview where he said that there was a sequel in the works. Is that still a thing? Is that a rumor?
And I think, you know, we talk about it all the time. I'm very friendly with all the people that I've done these movies with.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. It just needs to make sense, right? I mean, I have a meeting at MGM who owns Biodome like next week.
Great.
So I'm going to talk to them about it.
What about
but there could be also Biodome the series.
A cartoon?
You know what I mean? Cartoon, all that shit.
Sure.
Yeah.
I want to know, Encino Man, what was Encino Man the first one, like out of the, that was basically when you graduated from like MTV stardom.
Mm-hmm. Well, for the people listening that don't know who I am, because I'm sure there might be, no?
I don't know, man.
Really?
No, dude.
I think Pauly Shore is just in pop culture. I think we kind of,
I mean,
why
I love,
are you going to take a shit right now, bro? Fuck.
I love how
it's like saying does anyone not know what Nesquik is? It's like no, everyone does.
Know. Well, I love how humble you are with that perspective,
well,
but also like
the kids,
get your head out of your ass. Like you're fucking a staple.
Well, I don't know. Yeah. You know, my point is that from the year 1990 to the year 1997, I was one of the biggest, you know, celebrity or comedians.
Just say stars.
Yeah, stars.
Say stars.
You know, because I was on MTV when MTV was the hottest thing in the world.
Yeah.
I had the highest rated show on MTV every day. I was on every day. It wasn't like a weekly show.
That helped, right?
It was on every day from 3 to like 4:30.
Which is right when kids got home from school.
Exactly.
Turn it on,
so
boom.
It was boom right there. So I was like part of like the Mickey Mouse Club.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like you have to come home and watch me. And then from there, I went into all these films. You know what I mean? Encino Man, Son-in-Law, The Army, all these films. So during that whole time. And then on top of it, I had a 3-album deal with CBS Records. So I was putting comedy CDs, boom, 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 boom.
Trifecta.
And I was doing HBO specials or HBA and HBO special. I did that in Dallas. And then,
When you get the call for Encino Man.
So all that stuff was happening. And I was like in my 20s.
Did you audition for Encino Man? Or were they just like, yo, we need to capitalize on this motherfucker. Let's put him in.
No, what happened was Peter Paterno, who used to run Hollywood Records, who's actually Dr. Dre's attorney right now. Peter Paterno is like the fucking gnarly ass. He does like Metallica. You know
He's in the documentary that just came out. The Defiant Ones.
Perfect. Yeah, I'm sure he is.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's not Jimmy Iovine, right?
No, the other
guy. Yeah, Peter Paterno, who's on my podcast, by the way, like in another week.
It's
Dr. Dre's attorney. It's pretty cool.
Wow.
But he's the one that discovered me. He was the head of Hollywood Records, which ran Disney, and Jeffrey Katzenberg, who used to run Disney back in the day.
Yep.
Peter Paterno says, you got to watch this guy, Pauly Shore. He's on MTV. He's fucking killing it, da-da-da-da. So Jeffrey calls up my agent, my manager, and says, brings me in. I come in, I'm fucking all wheezed out, right? And then he says, we want you to be in this movie Encino Man. We want you to play the caveman. So I read the script, we hit him back, and we're like, no, I'm not playing a fucking caveman. Cavemans don't spuck. I got the wheeze, bro. I got the wheeze.
Yeah.
So
you got the voice. They can't have you speak like...
Well, he didn't know. He wasn't really, you know, he just thought how I looked like a fucking caveman. You know what I mean? So then we rewrote The Best Friend, you know, as Stoney Brown from, you know, and we changed the name and we changed the everything. And we made it the guy from MTV, pretty much.
And then
we just kept doing
it. It crushed at the box office, yeah?
Yeah, it did big, yeah.
And then Brendan Fraser, who you pretty much, that movie launched him as well.
Yeah.
Like, he wasn't, I can't think of something he was in before that.
No, he did, like, School Ties and all these other films afterwards. Mm-hmm. He's a great actor. Brendan's a great actor.
Yeah. You know? Could you tell from right back then where it's like, oh, dude, this guy's going to be awesome?
I'm doing a sketch with Funny or Die on Friday. I wrote it with a guy and I came up with it. It's called Silver Lake Vice Squad. And it's basically, it's me and Jay Moore.
Nice.
Done. We play undercover cops that dress as hipsters to go into Silver Lake to bust a Molly ring. And Bobby Lee works at the Nature as well. And he's the one selling the Molly in the Asahi bowls. So So there's a chief of police that puts us to work to go do this. And we just casted my friend Joey, who's one of the producers of Ballers. He got me this actor, Richard Schiff. You know him?
Sounds really familiar.
From the West Wing?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
Google him.
Yeah.
But he's going to play the chief of police.
Oh, my God.
But the point that I was trying to make is that, and going back to Brendan, is that you guys are comics, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, we're a little broad. I've seen you guys. You're a little over the top, you know.
Oh, yeah. Richard Schiff is also in Ballers. He plays the head investor.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, we're heightened versions of ourselves on stage.
So the point I was trying to make with Brendan is whenever you guys get a chance to act off of real actors as opposed to comics. Because when you act off of real actors like this guy, it makes your comedy way better. It just naturally makes it better. For instance, when I worked with Brendan Fraser, he was such a good actor and so real playing the caveman. Mm-hmm. Like my shit pops more.
Well, because it doesn't work if there's another
guy doing the same.
Yeah, thing. Trying to be large then it's not. Then it's not going to be. But it's the comedy is raised
and then,
when
you
have the straight guy and the crazy guy.
Do they let you improvise on Encino Man, or was it all?
We improvised the whole time. Yeah,
do you love that?
Yeah, the same thing with Son-in-Law. You know, the guy that played Lane Smith, the father and Son-in-Law. He was such a good actor. Rest
so
his
good.
Soul.
Yeah.
And the father and son-in-law, the evil coach in Mighty Ducks. Okay, that guy.
Yeah, but just it's always good whenever you're casting. Once you guys get your own TV show, which you will at some point,
I think so.
Always cast actors around you.
Did you have to do a boot camp for In the Army Now?
I mean Disney hired. They hired a trainer, and I lost weight, and I worked out, and I did all the stuff.
Yeah, because sure, it's a comedy, but you still have to look like you can.
Yeah, we have to make the transition from being a knucklehead into like a real army guy.
How was that though? Because you were probably still like living it up, poly style,
well,
right?
They cut my hair off.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah. What was that like when you
Samson,
looked in the mirror?
Not cool, bro. They took my powers.
No, they can't do that. Hair or no hair, you walk into the bar or the club and just say, "What's up, everybody?" Well, That's it.
And this guy, I'm friends with a lot of people at Showtime. This guy's
killing it
with Showtime. Really well.
Yep,
they rate really well because I asked this information because I'm, I want to know who's doing what.
Yeah.
I know what's rating there and I know what's not rating because these guys are my friends. And your stuff rates really well over there.
Thank you, sir.
And they're very happy with you.
Oh, thank you.
And that's a great thing because you could do these specials and you and I can think they're funny and your friends can think they're funny. But at the end of the day, if fucking... You